Praise be to God that He has chosen to bring us together again on another Lord's Day, worshiping Him, drawing near to Him. He promises that He will draw near to us, that He inhabits our praises, that as we come to this part of the worship service where we acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is our King and that He is upon the throne of the universe, He is currently reigning over all of the world. He is currently advancing His kingdom over all the world. And so we go to His Word to learn from Him, to hear from the great captain of our salvation about how we are to be like Him, how we are to be thinking, how we are to have our affections set the same as His, how we are to understand His kingdom and our role in living in His kingdom. And of course, that process is a process of change, because all of us still have our flesh inside of us, and all of us still cling to old fleshly ways. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, man, woman, child, sibling, husband, wife, we all have that old man inside of us that really doesn't want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God. You know, my flesh wants to make the kingdom of Matt, right? And your flesh wants to make the kingdom of Joseph or the kingdom of Steve. That's what we want to do. We want to build our own kingdoms and receive our own glory. That's what we all want. And so here we are again, seeking after that great treasure of repentance, where the God of the universe, because of His great love for us, by His Spirit and His Word, He will show us those spots in our thinking, in our affections, in our actions that do not add up with His Word. And so that's how we hear every sermon, right? That's how we go to the Word of God all the time, is just so thankful for the process of metamorphosis. It's a good thing that God is devoted to completing His good work in us. Let's stand and hear God's Word. The title of today's sermon is called The Mature Christian Greeting. This is verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 13. The second to last verse in the book of Hebrews. How about that? Well, please listen carefully. This is God's holy and infallible word. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Now verse 24. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Thus the reading ends the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Recall with me from last week's sermon, you recall it was entitled Incarnational Discipleship. I said these words: we are directed to model our mind after Christ's mind. We are to make nothing of our own reputations. We are to be God's slaves, finding our reward in His service. We are to lay aside our comforts and our status and go into the world of discomfort and outcasts, seeking His lost sheep and proclaiming His kingdom of peace. We are to accept whatever suffering that God brings to us in this process of incarnational evangelism and discipleship. And know that as this occurs, as we suffer in this process, we are thus taking up our cross and following after Jesus. Here again, verses 23 and 24 today. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. So now, in this week's sermon, we see the author's final instruction. The final instruction given to the Hebrew Christians. It's a simple yet powerful demonstration of being sent as the Father sent Jesus to us. And it's this greeting. And as we go through today's sermon, who here, as you've read the scriptures, maybe the last two or three verses of a book, you just kind of skip past because those are the formalities, right? You're supposed to say, greet one another with a holy kiss. You're supposed to do that and say that, right? And how does that overflow into your real life where you don't understand the significance of the salutation? You don't understand the significance of greeting one another like Christians. And that in our relationships with one another, the way that we greet one another is bounded by the commands of love as Christians. And the way that we greet one another as Christians must be founded upon the Bible. So have you ever considered that how you greet one another is given to you in the Scriptures? How you are to think about a Christian greeting is based upon what it means to be a Christian. It's not something for us to just read past. It's a very important protective part of relationships that we have with one another. Not just as Christians together here at Foothills Christian Assembly, where we come together on the Lord's Day and we look each other in the eyes and we say, Happy Sabbath. And we rejoice together in His resurrection as we greet one another. But it's also true in our marriages, in our homes, that the greetings that we have as a normal part of the ebb and flow of life are given to us by God as markers for the well-being and the health of that relationship. So today, a sermon is very simple in today's message. It's called The Mature Christian Greeting. I hope we'll all have a broader understanding of what a Christian greeting is and what a mature Christian greeting is. We'll talk about what is this idea of a salutation and look at how this is a demonstration of the impartiality of love. And this is really important because partiality is what destroys churches. Partiality is the devil's economy. Partiality is the devil's currency. And the Christian greeting is how we demonstrate God's currency of love and impartiality in how we demonstrate our love to one another. And then some questions for application. So it kind of goes back to what you've heard me say before, is that a lot of times it's not that we need to learn anything new, but we need to learn to apply what we do know to be true. We need to live it out in our real lives with one another, in our homes, in our marriages, in our friendships, in Christian worship, in Foothills Christian Assembly, in our community. So first of all, the salutation. We've got three different translations, the New King James, the King James, and the Message Bible, which is just a paraphrase Bible. The New King James says, greet all those who rule over you, all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. So you see that word greet there. The King James says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So that's another word that is used, is the salute. And then the Message Bible says, say hello to your pastoral leaders and all the congregations. Everyone here in Italy wants to be remembered to you. And so there in that paraphrase, you see some of the other ideas that are carried with the concept of greeting, carried with the concept of saluting one another. The King James has the word greet and salute, as you've heard, but it's also translated to embrace in the King James or to take leave. The Strong's Concordance defines this word as to draw to one's self. And I think that really helps us see what our goal is when we greet one another, is we want that other person to feel very welcomed by us. We're seeking to draw them to us. And we do that by saluting, by greeting, by bidding welcome, by wishing well. It is to receive joyfully. It is a welcome, a joyful reception of another human being. And of course, we do this in Christ. We do this as Christians. We understand that the foundation of this type of relationship is because of the oneness that we have as a gift to us from God. Right? So this salutation, the Christian salutation, is an expression of your faith towards God. That you believe that this other person and you are one in Christ because of what Jesus has done and not because of anything else. Webster's 1828 gives this definition: to address with expressions of kind wishes, to salute in kindness and respect, to meet and address with kindness, or to express kind wishes accompanied with an embrace. So the greeting, also called the salutation. And you know, have you ever been to a church that during the worship service they say, greet one another? They say, express the peace, right? And so there's history there that in liturgical worship, there was a time for this greeting. And some, as I was reading and studying, some even see evidence of this during the Lord's Supper. That during the Lord's Supper, there would be a moment of eye contact, greeting one another, expressing the peace of Christ to one another, an external demonstration that we are at peace with one another. Of course, we know that we're really not supposed to take the Lord's Supper if any of our relationships with one another are broken, right? We're supposed to set that aside until we fix that relationship with one another. It's so important. And so the greeting is a way that hey, our relationship is in good shape, is expressed, right? So do you see that? It's an expression of our Christian unity. So the greeting, the salutation, is the mutual expression of welcome, of joy, of warmth, of affection, and kindness, usually after a time of being apart, often accompanied by a physical expression of peace, such as a handshake or a hug or a kiss. That's what we're talking about here, and the Bible speaks to it. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Bible speaks to all these things? Have you ever felt awkward during a greeting? Who here has ever felt awkward? Come on, tell the truth. Who's ever felt awkward during a greeting, right? We all have that experience, right? Well, guess what? Today, Jesus wants to free you from that awkwardness, if you will let Him. Okay? Because there's no awkwardness when we're all listening to the voice of the blood of sprinkling. Right? There's no awkwardness in our relationship with one another when it is founded upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? We can bless each other, and we can expect to be blessed by others. But it's also used sometimes regarding the words and embrace at a time of parting also. So it's primarily during a time of coming together after being parted from one another for a while. But also sometimes it might be when you're about to part. We see that in Acts 20, where Paul is leaving. And you know, there's little examples of this all throughout our lives, right? So you wake up in the morning and you walk into the family room and you see that person for the first time. And what do you say? Good morning. Why do you say that? This is a greeting. You haven't seen them for so many hours. And you know who, you know what? It's funny. We have two Brittanys, Lily and Ginger. Like, our dogs teach us about greetings, y'all. Like, you're gone for like 30 seconds, right? And you come back and we all joke about this. And the dog's all over you, licking you, loving on you, jumping on you. You see, the dogs often know better about acting like Christians than we do. Right? So that's the thing, right? There's a whole human soul right there before your eyes. Virtually an endless land of exploration right there before you. And it's been interrupted by sleep, and it's time to get back at it. So the Christian greeting is a way that we're saying, yes, I'm here, I'm ready for more meaningful Christian relationship with you. Welcome home, Daddy! You know, my daughter, sweet Sarah, teaches me, and Sammy J and Joseph, all of them, they will sometimes attack me when I get home. I love it. Please don't stop. And they will grab my legs and I can't go anywhere. And so these are examples that we have in our everyday life of this concept of greeting. I've missed you, right? Someone returns, I've missed you. And they give you a hug. I get home from work and you know, my wife, even in the midst of the busyness, and she's so glad that I'm home so I can get to work, she still gives me a hug and a kiss and says, I've missed you, welcome home. And that's wonderful. Or how about this, happy Sabbath, right? We have this as a part of our life here at Foothills Christian Assembly. And the Sabbath hug. Like at the end of my Sabbath, I look back and I didn't get my Sabbath hug. Like I'm like, wait a minute, something didn't go right that day, right? But you know, the Sabbath hug is just a representation of the fact that we want to also have a Sabbath conversation. We want to have a Sabbath talk. We want to continue to grow in our experience of our unity in Christ and speak words of encouragement and growth to one another on that Lord's Day. You know, there's a military salute too, right? You got to get it just right. And Chuan's like, no, you missed it, Matt. But anyways, so we've got our military salute. You know, the military salute also has its roots in an act of peace between knights. They would, you know, wear the face guards and you couldn't see who they were. So if you came up to another knight and you couldn't make out the face of the other knight, you expressed your peace by popping open your face piece so you could be identified. And that's the history of the military salute. So even that was, in its roots, an expression of this peace, of this willingness to work together and be together and to be friends. Listen to Acts 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And so here the same word is used for an embrace in 1 Thessalonians 5. So you see, it's an expression in word, in action, but really it's an expression of your heart. If it's a Christian greeting, it's an expression of your love for this other person in Christ, that you're rejoicing in your unity that you have in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. This is funny. You see a lot of times people in European nations, they'll hug each other and they'll do the side-to-side face thing. That's an expression of this scriptural principle, greeting one another with a holy kiss. Now, of course, we don't believe that there's some eternal command that we have to always kiss one another when we greet. Don't worry, Jacob. I see that look. It's okay. He's like, wait a minute, Dr. Clark, back off. All right. So we're not talking about everyone having to kiss each other as soon as you get to church every Sunday. Calvin says, salute all the brethren with a holy kiss. As to the kiss, it was a customary token of salutation in that culture. In these words, however, he declares his affection toward all the saints. And so the idea of some sort of physical expression of our greeting has been present since the earliest days of the new covenant. 1 Corinthians 16:20 says it again, greet you one another with a holy kiss. Calvin goes into more detail about this holy kiss. The practice of kissing was very common among the Jews, as is manifest from the scriptures. In Greece, though, it was not so common and customary. It was by no means unknown. But the probability is that Paul speaks here of a solemn kiss with which they saluted each other in the sacred assembly. For I could easily believe that from the times of the apostles, a kiss was used in connection with the administration of the supper. However this may be, as it was a token of mutual love, I have no doubt that Paul meant to exhort them to the cultivation of goodwill among themselves. You hear that? The cultivation of goodwill among themselves. Not merely in their minds and in needful services, but also by that token, provided only it was holy, that is, neither unchaste nor deceitful. And so the kiss in this situation, or the Sabbath hug in our situation, is an expression of unfeigned desire for that person's well-being in Christ. And an expression of your unfeigned willingness and desire to continue along the path of Christ together with one another, and to continue to assist each other in the Christian life, to speak words of blessing to one another, to do acts of service to one another. And so this greeting serves as a continue. You know, guess what? In our flesh, we want to believe the worst about one another. Did you know that? In our flesh, not only do we want to make our own kingdoms, the kingdom of Matt, but in my flesh, I'm going to be like, and you know what? In the kingdom of Steve, that ain't so good. It's not so good. Kingdom of Josh, not as good as kingdom of Matt. Right? So we're going to be tempted to always see, you know, and guess what? That's what your flesh thinks about me too. And in our flesh, we will constantly be tempted to doubt our love for one another. That's what our flesh does. The devil brings those same accusations. And that's what partiality is an expression of. A partiality is an expression where Steve comes in. He says, I think the kingdom of Matt is a little bit better than the kingdom of Kurt. So I'm going to give Matt a little bit more affection today than I do Kurt, because I think I like his kingdom a little bit better. And so the greeting can be an expression of this fleshly thought that we want to be on the side of winners. And so we get on the side of winners by even how we greet one another. And so all of this goes back to the need to rest in Christ together and to see that God, in His electing love, expressed no partiality. As He chose from the people of the earth, we see that His work of choosing was an impartial work directed towards His elect according to His own eternal counsels. So we have to believe and understand that we have a unity in Christ, which is the foundation in our relationships. So when the author of Hebrews gives this final instruction, he's calling y'all, and it's simple because, you know, we've covered all of this high theological ground, critical about the old covenant passing away and the new covenant coming into place and what continues and what does not, and these really important theological questions. And at the end of the day, the author says, greet one another. Right? So we see the expression of all of this really important doctrine coming down to a handshake and a hug or a kiss or a word of encouragement to one another. So we don't want to miss how powerful these things are when they are genuine expressions of Christ in us. He's calling in his final instruction to them for an outward expression of Christian unity and love and peace. And so what we can say here is, then children, you know, you guys teach us this so much because y'all have got greetings down pat. Like Sarah and Faith, you want to learn how to greet one another? You watch when Sarah and Faith see each other on Sunday morning. It's like the tackle, right? Their physical expression is the Christian tackle, right? And then they're at it and they're everywhere and they're going and they're ready for more Christian relationship, right? And see, that's what we have in Christ, is that kind of certainty that He is present in our midst and that He will deliver us from our own flesh. He will deliver us from our sinfulness that we bring into the relationship. He will deliver us from even the hurts that we bring into our relationship as we try to go through this together. Because He's there. He's really there. The greeting is not an expression of your confidence in the other person. The greeting is not an expression of your trust towards the other person. Do you get that? The greeting is an expression of your confidence and your trust in the one who shed His blood for you. His precious blood for you. That He is present and that He will work in our relationships to cause us to grow in Christ's likeness and grow in our love and our devotion to each other. We all know the encouragement and the joy that we receive from another Christian who greets us with genuine words and actions of affection in Christ. We all know this, don't we? When there's that lack, there's that absence of any awkwardness. Because, you know, that's where the awkwardness shows up, right? Is in the greeting. Happens for husbands and wives. It happens for siblings. It happens for friends. That awkwardness creeps in there. And the first place we spot it is in the greeting. But you know what it's like to have that comfortable greeting. There's good eye contact. There's a smile. There's a handshake or a hug. And there's warm words of encouragement. And we all know what a drink of water this is in a dry and thirsty world. And you know, we just cannot miss how powerful that is. And we just kind of be tempted to gloss over it, to miss its importance, just like we missed maybe its importance the last second, the last verse. Oh, he's just supposed to say that. No. No. We are expressing the glory of the cross every time we greet one another as Christians. We are expressing the glory of the resurrection every time we greet one another. We are expressing our confidence that Christ is reigning in our midst every time we greet one another, as those who greet one another with maturity, with understanding, knowing that the way that we relate to one another is so important to the Lord Jesus Christ and is essential to the ongoing health and well-being of any local assembly. Because y'all, here's bread and here's wine that we will share together today in the Lord's Supper. And these are not empty tokens. The Lord gives no empty tokens, y'all. It is not just a memory aid. He promises that He is present and He meets with us in powerful and unique ways when we receive the bread and the wine in faith towards Him. And this is also true of these tokens that we are called to give to one another. When we greet one another, it is not an empty thing. When you go there with understanding and with the boldness where you intend to express Christ in you to this other person. Of course, it's just the beginning, right? It's just the beginning. We receive the bread and the wine from God and He blesses us, and it doesn't stop there, right? We go forth as His ambassadors, strengthened by His presence. Well, the same is true in our relationships with one another when we bless each other with these kind words. You know, it's humbling, too, because the other person may not receive it. They may be kind of freaked out by your kindness. Maybe they don't like you, right? Maybe there's been difficulties in the relationship. But what you're saying to them is, that doesn't matter. Jesus is bigger. Let's say it all together. Jesus is bigger. And see, that's what we have to believe. Right? Jesus is bigger, Q-Man. Yes, He is. And what I'm saying to you is that the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the reign of Christ, the presence of Christ in us gives us this confidence to be able to love one another and to be okay if the other person doesn't necessarily receive it like you meant it. And gives us the confidence to receive when others bless us. Right? Because it's humbling to be blessed by another person. It's humbling. Right? We know Melchizedek blessed Abraham and everyone knows that the one who blesses is considered to be the superior one in that relationship. So it's humbling to receive a blessing from others. So the greeting, y'all, I mean, we can overthink this, I admit it. But the greeting is a snapshot of the gospel alive in your relationship with that other person. So these are physical representations, words, embrace, eye contact, smiles that we give to one another. We choose to give these gifts to one another as an act of faith towards Christ, that Jesus really does make us eternal siblings with one another. And I've referenced this recently when we talked about the brotherhood. You know, when I, as your elder, serve you the Lord's Supper, and I look you in the eyes, and I say, dear brother, or I say, dear sister, I'm attempting to live out this principle in our midst. Because, you know, as we're going to see here, it doesn't matter whether you're an elder or not an elder, whether you're a deacon or not a deacon, when it comes down to the communion that we have together in Christ. Ultimately, what, y'all? There's one shepherd of Foothills Christian Assembly. There's one king of Foothills Christian Assembly. And we are all running to Him together. And so the greeting is a way that we demonstrate that. The impartiality is demonstrated. But on the other hand, we have all likely experienced the awkwardness and the distance present in a relationship when the greeting changes. I hope my wife doesn't get mad at me. I love my wife so much in that there are no, like, if things are not good between me and my wife, there's not going to be like any pretend greetings going on. Right? We're going to have to get this fixed, right? And so we've all experienced the awkwardness and the distance presence in a relationship by how the greeting changes, right? And, you know, that's a gift to us that we realize that we're not at that time unified. There's brokenness in the relationship. There's something wrong in the relationship. And that's a gift that God gives to us when we experience that awkwardness. And of course, you know, we read a whole book about how to forgive one another in our assembly, and how to, we read another book about how to make peace with one another in our assembly. I mean, we have to continuously be knowing how to work through difficulties in relationships with one another, because it's going to come. You are living in a fantasy land if you think that you are going to pursue genuine, growing relationship with other Christians and not be disappointed. Right? And in that moment of disappointment, we've got to know how to work through these things the way that God instructs us to. Right? And it's not complicated. I mean, the big picture is we forgive each other. We are kind to one another. We are tender-hearted to one another. And we remember that Jesus Christ has shed his blood for me. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So it's only when we forget what Jesus, like when I forget what Jesus has done for me, that I can play the fool inside my house and withhold my affection from my wife because I'm angry with her. It's the same for all of us. It's only when you forget what Jesus has done for you that you can play the fool and withhold your affection from another Christian, from your spouse, from your child, from one of your siblings. And so there are these clues that we have turned our attention away from Christ and focused on other points of unity that are weak and unstable. So, do you see this? This is in a larger context of relating to one another well as Christians. And the greeting is kind of the punctuation mark, if you will, in our relationships with one another. It's kind of always there, right? And so is it a period, right, to where everything comes to an acceptable conclusion and then there's an acceptable beginning the next time you're together? Or is it a question mark, right? Is it an exclamation point? Or is it just three dots and nobody really knows what's coming next? In Christ, okay, now look. The awkwardness that God brings into a relationship by His Holy Spirit when things aren't right is a gift. And we respond to that by talking to each other and working through it. Okay? Now, however, there's factions as well. Okay? And that can present distance and brokenness in the relationship as well. And factiousness is, like I said before, when we're working from the flesh. We're building our own kingdoms. And what happens there is we look for points of common ground different than Jesus. So, for example, I like homeschoolers. That's who I hang out with. And I really greet homeschoolers. That's what I do. Right? Or we do liturgy at our church. That's what we do. We have a liturgical worship, and I greet people who are liturgical. That's what I do. Right? We can go on and on. Right? You can go on and on about points of common ground that you can look for. That will be places where you will be greeting that person with greater gladness and warmth than another Christian. And you may be thinking, well, that's just natural affinity. Okay, right, you've got that. Natural affinity is a real thing. There's nothing wrong with that. God does grow relationships at different rates, and you'll have, you know, you look around you, some people here at Foothills you know better than others, and you're closer to them than others just through the natural flow of life. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a choice that you make to search for the appropriate level of warmth and affection and joy towards every other Christian in your life. Do you see that? Like, have you ever been to a family reunion before? Who here has been to a family reunion before? Okay? Now, some family reunions are so big, you don't even know all the people there. Has anyone ever been to a family reunion that big? Okay. All right, so you know what I'm talking about. And you know what you're looking for. You're looking for the T-shirt, right? Usually there's a T-shirt that lets you know, okay, this is my kin. And you go up to him and say, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm a Williner too. Well, What was that? What did that? Right? Well, guess what? As Christians, we understand that we are kin forever via our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, we're always looking for that punctuation mark. You know, there needs to be a smiley face punctuation mark. That's the one I'm looking for. I'm looking for that one right now. Right, and you know, if you do text messaging or emails with me, you often see the smiley face, right, at the end. Because that's what I'm after. And that's what we're all after, right, in Christ, is to be happy together. And have every interaction that we have with one another to be one of joy. And I mean, even if it's something where there's difficulty, at the end of it, there's smiles. And there's warmth. And there's a commitment to continue. You know, I'll tell you this. As a Christian, you do not have the option with another Christian to give up on them. You're not allowed to do that. Did you know that? Did you know that? And your greetings towards them are an expression of that. Right? Now, trust comes based on having good interactions with people, and trust grows and relationships grow as we prove ourselves to one another. And there's that process that we go through. But you must be open to that process with every Christian in your life. And if you are not, you are in sin. You are rejecting the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're rejecting the precious death of Jesus Christ for that person. So we never close the door. We never close the door on another Christian. Ever. Right? You get that? Now, the door's open, but you don't necessarily walk right in. I mean, if they punched you in the face last time you were together, right, you're going to have to wait for some time to go through. But that door is always open. You're always looking. You're always hoping to be able to trust more. You're always longing to see things get better and grow. And you're in your bed at night having a hard time falling asleep because it's not growing. You see? All right, so impartial love demonstrated is the second part. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. I love how Matthew Henry says this. It's a good thing to have the law of holy love and kindness written in the hearts of Christians one toward another. You know, I think of the engraving on the tablets of stone and how God comes by His Spirit and He turns our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and then He writes His law on our hearts. And that law of kindness is then on our tongue and in how we treat one another. So, what does the author do? He sends his Christian affection to the entire congregation, both to the rulers and to all the saints. So there's a method to this author's design. He could have just said, greetings. But he did not. He emphasized greetings to both leaders and to the saints in the congregation. Notice also that the author sends along greetings from those from Italy, which would have likely included many Gentiles in their midst. So notice here, the greetings are working towards unity. You see that? The greetings are bringing people together and showing how we're all unified in Christ. Lane says it this way: if it is correct to detect in the formulation of the prior verses evidence of tension between the members of the assembly and their leaders, the greeting formula shows pastoral sensitivity in bringing the two groups together in a context of shared cordiality. So what does this teach us about mature Christian? Look, guys, everything we do as Christians should be done with understanding and with a focus upon the kingdom of God, even our greetings towards one another. Even our greetings towards one another. Mature Christian greetings spread warmth amongst the entire congregation as God intends. Do you see? Okay, so on the one hand, you've got like a fire hose, and you just like spray a fire hose at somebody, right? That's not what God intends. And that's all you do. You just stand there all day spraying the fire hose at them. And then next Sunday you do the same thing. Next Sunday you do the same thing. That's called a faction or a clique. Okay? Or it can be like a sprinkler system that you've got in the whole place. And it just comes on and it just rains down the blessing upon everybody. That's kingdom greetings. And, you know, because what you see otherwise is the youth are over here, right? And the old people are over here. The women are over here. The men are over here. And whatever, the farmers are over here. And the engineers are over here or whatever, right? But no, but no, but no, but no. Because guess what happens when you greet somebody? You talk to them. I mean, you should, right? Because that's what the greeting is saying. You know, when we come in and we have our first, the first element in our worship, what's it called? The call to worship. That's where God greets us. Now, we could even say that God has, by his sovereign power, gotten you out of bed, gotten you dressed, and brought you to this spot. And then he speaks to you and says, welcome. Right? He's greeted you in the call to worship. Well, is worship over then? No, because the relationship goes on. We confess our sin to him. We acknowledge that we are forgiven and we rejoice that we are in fellowship with him. So we return the embrace. And he embraces us again. And then he teaches us. That's where we are now. And then we come to our time of joyful fellowship with him. Caulfields came over yesterday. We had a wonderful time just eating and playing together. You know, what if you went to somebody's house and, you know, you got there and you said, hey, man, good to see you. How are you? Okay, see you later. Bye. And you just left. I mean, the kids would be like revolting, right? And the parents too, right? So you see, the greeting is the beginning of something. Mature Christian greetings spread warmth amongst the entire congregation as God intends. And note this, mature Christian greetings have a unifying impact on the entire congregation. When someone sees you greeting someone else with the same warmth with which they had greeted you earlier, and they do not sense a drop off in the affection level, that is tying the wonderful bonds of love in the church. And those bonds go from old to young, from young to young, from young to old, from man to man, from wife to wife. And suddenly you have this network that cannot be broken. These strings have been tied by God's Spirit, and then you have a community that will be so powerful together because nothing can take them apart. And all this just from Christian greetings. Do you want to be a part of an assembly like that? To where the devil can throw his biggest artillery on you and it just bounces off? Who wants to be a part of an assembly like that? Amen and amen. Now, does anybody know why we're called the Palmetto State? Okay, anybody been to Fort Moultrie? Seen it? Okay, so they built, and I'm probably going to get the history a little bit wrong because it's off the top of my head. This is when I usually get in trouble. They built that fort off these palmetto logs, right? And okay, so then the bad guys come. Who were the bad guys? British, right? And they had their naval ships, their naval vessels. And y'all, what did they do? The cannons were firing. The cannons were firing on that fort. And what did the cannonballs do when they hit those palmetto logs? They bounced off. Right. So it took a lot of work, though, to build that fort, didn't it? When you greet your Christian brother and sister, you are building a fort. Do you see that? When you go through relationship building of trust and you fail each other and you forgive each other and then you grow and you irritate each other but you bear with one another and you grow, you are building a fort. It's a fire that people want to be a part of. They want to know that if they come into your midst, that they're going to be welcomed into that same web of protection. They're going to want that. That's what Jesus meant when he said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. The diversity of the congregation is celebrated, yet the unity of the congregation is never threatened by the varying levels of closeness and the varying relationships amongst the congregation. One of the pitfalls of a sermon like this is you might hear me, a brother of mine, Rob Looper, over in Pensacola, he said, don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. So you might hear me saying, we all need to have the same level of relationship with one another. Okay, that is not what I'm saying. Okay, because we are going to grow at different rates in our relationships based on time spent together, based on difficulties we've had to work through, based on water under the bridge together. All right? That's how life is. But what is not different is the affection that I have for you and that you have for me and that we have for one another as those who have been purchased by Jesus Christ's precious blood. So see, what you're doing when you greet one another with a holy kiss, if you will, or our Sabbath hug, is you're saying that person, the blood of Christ is so precious. You're saying Jesus Christ is so precious. And He dwells in you. Right? So you remember how Jesus said, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of these, you've done it unto me. So you give me a cup of cold water, Foothills Christian Assembly, when you put your arms around me and you hug me. And I'm trying to give you a cup of cold water when I do the same thing. And when we do this for one another with that motive, y'all, oh, it's a beautiful thing. And it's so simple. It's not complicated, is it? I want to emphasize again God's impartiality. Listen to Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. The Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, establishes joyful fellowship and unity amongst all kinds of different people from all over the world. How beautiful, how beautiful. This means there should be no such thing as a white church, no such thing as a black church, no such thing as a Spanish church, no such thing as a Korean church. There should be no such thing. You shouldn't put that name in front of a Christian assembly, ever. So I would like us to all understand that when we see victory of the gospel in the earth, what we're going to see in Edgefield County is there's not going to be any black churches, there's not going to be any white churches. There's going to be people worshiping together. That's what we're going to see. And we're not going to have that as a dividing line for choosing which church we go to. Or Korean church. Or whatever kind of ethnic division you might want to choose. That is not biblical. That's not from the Bible. Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. You see how the author also referenced those in Italy, bringing Gentile and Jew together, bringing the church leaders and the church members together, using the greeting as a way to spread the warmth of Jesus Christ far and wide. Because God does not withhold His love from any of His children. He does not distribute His love to His children in measure. It's all at once to you, Christian, from God the Father. And we should be seeking to do the same thing for one another. I appreciated Brother Dave reading from Bonhoeffer's work, Life Together, on Wednesday night. I haven't decided yet, but I'm thinking that this would be really good to be our next book that we study together as an assembly. In our groups, in our small group book studies that we do. It's just such a wonderful work. I'm going to read the same section that Dave read on Wednesday night as an example of what we have to watch out for in how we live in one another's midst. Just as surely as God desires to lead us to a knowledge of genuine Christian fellowship, so surely must we be overwhelmed by a great disillusionment with others, with Christians in general, and if we are fortunate, with ourselves. By sheer grace, God will not permit us to live even for a brief period in a dream world. He does not abandon us to those rapturous experiences and lofty moods that come over us like a dream. God is not a God of the emotions, but the God of truth. Only that fellowship with which faces such disillusionment, with all its unhappy and ugly aspects, begins to be what it should be in God's sight. Begins to grasp in faith the promise that is given to it. The sooner this shock of disillusionment comes to an individual and to a community, the better for both. A community which cannot bear and cannot survive such a crisis, which insists upon keeping its illusion when it should be shattered, permanently loses in that moment the promise of Christian community. Sooner or later, it will collapse. Every human wish dream that is injected into the Christian community is a hindrance to genuine community and must be banished if genuine community is to survive. Say genuine community. Genuine community. Say human wish dream. Human wish dream. Which do you want to be a part of? Genuine community. He who loves his dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, which a destroyer of the community, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. So Jesus knows what real Christian community looks like. Jesus knows. You don't know. I don't know. We have principles. But in terms of Foothills Christian Assembly, people here today, right now, we don't even really know what genuine community looks like. We all have some idea of it in our head, but it's probably not accurate. The Christian greeting is a way that we express the understanding that Jesus Christ is the King. When we have that warmth and that affection towards one another, and we spread it all around, we understand that we're ready to be disillusioned. We know that this person that we're loving on is a big fat sinner just like we are. And that's just life. And we know Jesus is bigger than all that. And he's going to take us through it. He's going to show us what it looks like. So some questions for application. Don't forget that our flesh desires to create false unity based upon unstable and passing points of common ground. Okay? So, you know, the flesh has its idols, the things that it finds its security in, and it wants to associate with other people who have those same points of idolatry. So you have that inside your soul, every one of you. You have it. It's going to plague you during your life. It's going to try to trick you into building relationships with others upon that idol. Next. And it'll show up in your greetings and the strength of your greetings. Okay, so you see that? So the people who you share your idols with, you're going to really greet them well when you're walking in the flesh. When you understand that's nonsense, you're going to seek to have the same affection towards everyone in the assembly. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit will not allow this to persist in a healthy Christian community? I mean, Jesus just will not allow idolatry to flourish in his church. He will not allow it. And so he's going to come against my flesh. Praise God. He's going to come against your flesh. Praise God. And the question is, will we repent? Will we bend our stiff necks and receive his conviction? We all need it. We all need it. And God gives that. And if we will bend our stiff necks and repent, then we will find the glory of Christian community together. Have you considered the power and glory of the mature Christian greeting? Have you ever thought about this before? You know, we talked about your deathbed liturgy one time, right? And many of you said, I never thought about that, right? Well, you should be ready for what's going to happen on your deathbed. Well, you should have a plan for Christian greetings, right? Don't overthink it. I don't want you to be all freaked out about not doing step 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? Just that's not what this is. It's about understanding the union we have in Christ and expressing that to every Christian that you know in how you greet them. Do you understand that you spread? Now, this is great, isn't it? Think about it. You're building a fort, okay? Little children, you build forts. Louis, you're building a fort here in our assembly when you greet someone in Jesus' name and love on them and say, man, it's good to see you. How you been? Do you understand that when you do this, you're spreading unity throughout the community of God by intentionally greeting with affection and warmth all those in the community? You understand that? And if you can't, if there's a reason you cannot do this, something's wrong. And you heard me pray it last week. If there's a single relationship in this church that needs to be fixed, I pray the Holy Spirit will just pow. You won't be able to sleep without getting it fixed. Okay? And that'll show up in your greetings with one another. And man, I don't know of anything. I'm not, you know, how the preachers will sometimes preach about this or that. I'm saying all of us need to make sure that we are in good shape with one another. Do you realize that if you cannot give or receive a sincere and mature Christian greeting, that there's something wrong and displeasing in your relationship with that person? Do you think Christ is pleased with that awkwardness and that distance that might be present? Do you realize that if you express warmth and affection based primarily upon fleshly points of common ground, that you are creating division in God's church? You're like, well, I didn't mean to. Well, okay, fair enough. But you are. So, and think about it. I mean, the division is so big in America that we build entire buildings to move the children into another place. Right? Because, I mean, what do children want to do? They want to spend time with children. Right? And what do selfish children want to do? Selfish children just only want to spend time with other selfish children. And what do selfish adults want to do? We just only want to spend time with other selfish adults. And so we institutionalize this thing. We put the building over there. And they're over there greeting each other all the time. And the adults are over here greeting each other all the time. But never the twain shall meet. So do you understand that by giving in to these idols that you find security in, and then making them points of contact with others, and thus expressing greater affection towards that kind of person or this kind of person, that you are spreading discord in the church? Have you ever thought about that before? See, we have to be wise. We have to be wise. We have to be intentional with how we love on one another. You have this responsibility. You know, when everybody joins this church, we read a little something about the one another's to each other. You realize that? Now, one another means every single other person in this assembly. Now, that's kind of daunting. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, I'm telling you, Christian, that you have a responsibility to every single other individual in this church to seek to love on them. And I love watching it happen. Oh, it just makes my heart just overflow. And I know people in our church, I'm not going to embarrass them, who understand this. And they go every week to somebody different. And they're loving on different people every week. And they understand the calling to be connected as much as we can with everybody. And we're all doing that. But I think we can agree that there's probably some that are even more intentional. We want to be like them. We want to be like them. Final question. Do you rejoice in the glorious power and influence that even you can have, little child? Even you, little child. The power and influence that you can have for God's glory simply by maintaining and expressing Christian love and affection toward one another. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us these little simple ways to build unity, to experience and express the unity that He has given to us? It should be of great encouragement to us that the author of Hebrews chooses to end the book of Hebrews with something so sweet. We should not just cruise past this and think that it's some formality. Just like in real life, we have to see that the way we treat one another is the ultimate expression of whether we are even Christians at all. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice that in Your great love towards us, You have rescued for Yourself people from every tribe and tongue and nation on the earth. God, we rejoice that there's neither Jew nor Greek, free nor slave, man nor woman, but that according to Your great grace, You have just poured Your favor out upon Your people, and that You sent Christ into our midst, and He said to us, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." God, we rejoice that Jesus Christ has not shown partiality in His love towards His church. And God, we ask that You would help each one of us to be like Jesus and to obey the command to greet one another and to understand mature Christian greetings all the days of our lives, and that you would work through the love that we express to one another to build a fortress of Christian community and security at Foothills Christian Assembly, now and always until the victorious return of Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.